Free at last, chapter 33. Nine plagues already have come upon Egypt. Their river had been a river full of blood, and all the fish died. Nearly all their sheep, goats, and horses were dead. Their fields of wheat and barley, flax and spelt were eaten bare. Still, Pharaoh and his servants continued to be obstinate. They would not give in. They would not bow before Israel's mighty God. It is true, the Lord withheld the grace from Pharaoh to bow before him, but Pharaoh remained responsible for his actions. And wasn't God very good to Pharaoh? He often warned Pharaoh before the punishment came. When the punishments were there, and Pharaoh would ask Moses but once if he would pray for relief, then the Lord immediately heard and took away the punishment. Pharaoh only had to speak, and it happened immediately. So now, who was to blame for all the misery and poverty? Wasn't it his own fault? Wasn't it because he would not bow before God? Because he would not obey God? Boys and girls, the Lord is also good to you. He gives you all that you need, such things as food and drink, clothing to wear, a home to live in, yes, too many things to name. Besides, he gives you the Bible, which is God's word. The Lord warns you that you must not be naughty and disobedient, and that you must be converted. Not only once, not 10 times, but hundreds of times you are warned. Sunday after Sunday, the minister preaches, or the word is read in the church. You are taught at the catechism class, at school, at home, and many more times. And what do? Do you listen to it? Do you obey the Lord? Probably you will say, we can't do that. But I will ask you something. Do you ask the Lord frequently if he will teach you? Do you pray often? Do you plead many times for a new heart and ask the Lord if he will convert you? Oh, boys and girls, do not cast these things away from you, for then you do the same as Pharaoh. You do not listen to the warnings of the Lord. A great bustle and excitement prevails among the Israelites. All the men and women are glad and cheerful because it won't be very long before they will be free. God, the Lord, has said it himself. Yet one more plague will come, and then they shall be free, and they will be allowed to go. All things are gathered together for the long journey. Everything is made ready. Are they working? Are they making bricks? They don't give it a thought. They needn't do it anymore, for they have something else to do. Their sheep, cows, and other cattle are driven together near their homes. They go to the houses of the Egyptians and demand silver and gold from them. The Lord told them to do this. The Egyptian women dare not refuse. Everything and anything that the Israelites ask for, they get. The Egyptians are filled with fright. The Israelites have in their dwellings or in a corner of their stables a sheep, a lamb, which is exactly 1 year old. 4 days ago, they had to select it and set it apart. Now, the last day has come. The women take flour and knead it. They bake bread, unleavened bread, which means that they didn't put yeast in it. They prepare herbs, bitter herbs. The men walk to the stables in the evening and slay the lamb. They catch the blood in a basin. Oh, look, they go outside with that blood. They have a bunch of hyssop in their hand. Hyssop is a plant with wide, hairy leaves. They dip these leaves in that blood and strike the blood on the two side posts and the lintel. They don't put it on the door sill. But why do they do that? What does it mean? The Lord commanded them to do it. This coming night, something very dreadful will happen. An angel will go throughout all Egypt, and in every house the oldest, thus the firstborn of each family, will die, not only of the people, but also of the animals. Wherever the blood is spread upon the posts of the door, and the angel will pass by that house. The firstborn in that house will not be slain. Therefore the Israelites paint the posts of their doors red with the blood of the Lamb. They are safe behind that blood. Does the blood of an animal protect them? Why, no, but this blood pointed to the Lord Jesus. One day his blood must also be poured upon the earth. When that was finished, they began to clean the lamb and roast it. However, they were not permitted to cut it in pieces, but it must remain whole. Not one bone of this lamb was to be broken, neither would one bone be broken of the Lord Jesus. Finally, everything is ready. In the meantime, the sun went down, and it became dark. The Egyptians go to sleep, but the Israelites remain awake. Even the children are not brought to their beds. Behold, every Israelite stands around the table, the little ones as well as the adults, fathers, mothers, boys, and girls. They are eating that roasted lamb. They take the bread and dip it in the bitter herbs. Every face is serious. Everyone realizes that this is something unusual. Even the smallest child is quiet. They do not understand exactly what is taking place. It is all so strange and so different from other nights. They called this meal the Passover, and the lamb was called the Paschal Lamb. From now on, the Israelites had to celebrate the Passover each year. That lamb was a type of the Lord Jesus. That lamb was killed and slain, and one day the Lord Jesus would also be slain and crucified. That lamb died so that they would live. The Lord Jesus would also die so that his people would live forever. We do not celebrate the Passover anymore. I already hear you saying, yes, but don't we have Easter? That is true, but then we commemorate something altogether different from the Israelites. We remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus at Easter, but the Israelites remembered the going out of Egypt on that day. Besides, the Passover of the Israelites was something else. It was a sacrament. In chapter 11, I told you about the circumcision. That was a sacrament too. Thus, the Israelites had two sacraments, circumcision and the Passover. We also have two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The little boys of the Israelites were circumcised, but we have our little children baptized. The Israelites had to celebrate the Passover once every year. we celebrate the Lord's Supper a few times each year. A lamb was slain at the Passover. Thus, blood flowed. No blood flows when we commemorate the Lord's Supper, but wine is poured in the cup. The blood of the Lamb of the Passover pointed to the blood of the Lord Jesus who would come. The wine in the Lord's Supper also points to the Lord Jesus who has come. This portion is really too difficult for you, children. Maybe you cannot understand it now, but try to remember something of it. Later you will be able to understand it if the Lord spares you. In this way, the Israelites ate their first Passover. When the meal was finished, everything was quiet in the land of Goshen. No one went to bed, neither did anyone go outside. They were forbidden to go outside, neither did they dare to. Everybody waits. What for? It is midnight, that is 12 o'clock. Everywhere it is quiet as death. The stillness of night prevails. The moon shines with its moderate light upon the houses of the Egyptians. It shines through the bare branches which were eaten empty of leaves by the locusts. It throws its rays upon the ruined fields and pastures. In every house it is quiet and calm. The Egyptians are asleep. Suddenly, an Egyptian mother awakens. She steps from her bed to see how her children are. Quietly, she walks to the bed where her oldest son lies sleeping. When she comes to her child, he lies there, pale and motionless. She bends over her lad, and at once she gives a cry of fright. Her child is dead. Her husband is awakened, hurries to her, and he also sees that terrible thing which has happened. The father of the child runs outside and knocks on his neighbor's door to awaken him. He finds that in his house too there is one dead, for the oldest son is lying dead upon his bed. And so it is throughout the entire land of Egypt. In some houses there are more than one dead. If the father is the oldest, then he is dead too. Then there are two dead, the father and the oldest son. It isn't very long before a light burns in every Egyptian house. All are awake. Everywhere we hear sobbing and weeping. Many thousands of Egyptians died suddenly that night. Old and young, small and big, died. Oh, how terrible that was. How did that happen so suddenly? Well, children, an angel of God went through the land of Egypt at midnight. This angel was a destroying angel, and he went into every Egyptian dwelling, killing the firstborn of every family quickly and quietly. This was the 10th plague which God sent upon Egypt. Pharaoh, the king, also awakens from the turmoil outside. We read in the Bible that he rose up in the night. Thus, he went as usual to bed. Still, he knew what was going to happen, for he was warned. Moses and Aaron had told him before, and they were driven out from before him the last time. He would not listen. Probably he didn't even believe it, for he went to bed as he was accustomed. How is it possible that he could be so unconcerned? But now that he is awake, he immediately goes to the bed of his oldest son, the crown prince, who would be king after the death of his father. And, oh, the terror, there lies his darling, pale and dead. This prince also is slain by the angel of destruction. The firstborn of the cattle also are slain. All Egypt is filled with weeping and wailing. It is very quiet in the land of Goshen, so quiet that not even a dog barks. But the children of Israel are not sleeping. No, they are all awake and waiting. The angel of destruction has passed by their houses. Why? Do you see the red stripes on the posts of the doors? Those stripes are the blood of the Paschal Lamb. Wherever that blood was brushed, the angel passed over that house. But commotion soon stirs in the land of Goshen. Moses and Aaron are called, and they must go to Pharaoh immediately. Go, go, Pharaoh says. Rise up, take everything with you. Take your wives and children, your sheep and goats, your furniture and other belongings. Take everything, yes, everything with you, and bless me also. All doors of the Israelites are opened. The Egyptians have sorrow and mourning, but the Israelites are glad. The sheep, cows, and all cattle are driven from the stables. Even the Egyptians give a helping hand. Hurry up, hurry up, the Egyptians say continuously. Otherwise, we all will die. The Israelites travel on the road, going toward the wilderness. They walk in rows of five abreast. Look at those few Israelites carrying a box. What must they do with that? What is in this box? Maybe gold or silver? Oh no, a corpse lies in this box. A corpse? Whose? It is the corpse of Joseph, who was formerly viceroy over Egypt. His brethren promised to do this at his death, and now they are fulfilling this promise. They did not forget it in all the bustle. Joseph wanted to be buried in Canaan among his own people, whom he had loved, and not in Egypt. Long lines of people go out of Egypt, extending beyond the sight of the eye. There were 600,000 men above the age of 20 years, besides the women and children. Some people think the total numbered more than 2 million people. Some Egyptians also went with them, for we read that a mixed multitude went up with them. Wasn't this despised, slavish nation extensive? When Jacob came into Egypt, they only numbered 70. Now, they are more than 2 million. The Lord cared for that people in a wonderful way. The evil plans of Pharaoh were a failure, a complete failure. Finally, finally they were free. When the sun came up that morning, not an Israelite remained in the land of Goshen. Every house and barn was empty. Everywhere it was death-like and deserted. The people of Israel were on the way to Canaan, the land of promise.